It's a great joy to be a father. And I've been doing it for, I believe like 22 years now. It's hard to believe. And some of my greatest blessings, my greatest happiness, some of my greatest pains have been wrapped up in the time spending with my children. And it's great, you know, keeping them safe, loving them selflessly, correcting them in truth and love, and praising them when they get it right, right? Being there to comfort them. Excuse me, guys, I'm sorry. That sugar in that Pepsi was a bad idea. Being there to comfort them when things go wrong. No, we always don't get it right. Anybody who has been a parent knows that that is sometimes the furthest from the truth, you know, getting it right. But there are so many things I know, even as I raise my youngest two, that I want to do better. And what I've found out over the years of getting older, for me to be a great parent, is to learn how to be a child again. And what that means is not in the way that you might think, because I know a lot of you know me and you think I'm pretty childish, but I'm talking about a way, you know, that's not necessarily trying to, relate with them where they're at, watching the anime that they're watching, which I do, by the way, but, you know, it's more than that. It's not in the way to relate. Not to understand fashion, also not to look back at even my earthly parents, whom I love, but not necessarily to look at their examples either. And so not in the way to relate in so much of, like, I see that in today's society, and even as growing up, you know, you have the cool dad or the cool mom who wants to, you know, come alongside and support sinful behavior and negative behavior. That's not what we are here to do as parents. I also see it, you know, sometimes in the work environment that I work, as we have, I work on a boys' ranch where we have house parents that want to so badly want to, you know, have an influence on these children that we take care of, and in doing so, they want to be their friend and their buddy, and all of a sudden they become less of a father figure, and it just really goes bad. It becomes very unhealthy for the child and for the adult. But as I sit and think about that this morning, thinking about children, thinking about fathers, thinking about how I want to do better as a parent, I think about my Heavenly Father. We have an example there that is set before us by our Father in His Word, that we are all children of God. And that's what I mean about being a child, wanting to go back to just rest in His example. That absolute example of what it looks like to be a parent, a child, a friend, a stranger, you know, to love people where they're at. In any of these relational examples, God is calling us all to step into a role of being a child, one who desires to be a reflection of His Father in heaven. So if you're thinking, I'm not a parent today, so I can just check out now, I wouldn't. The word parent can also be a trigger. And so you can also think, yeah, you know, this isn't going to be for me. But I would highly recommend that you stay with me. See, God has made us all children in His sight, and we're made in His likeness, and He desires to fellowship with you and to meet you and minister to you in His Word today. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. You're a great, great Father. Not just good, you are everything. And so, Father, thank you for example, your love that we do not, we haven't earned it. We just get it. We receive it. And Lord, what a wonderful blessing. So we pray for your presence here now. We pray for your Holy Spirit just to come into this room here with us and bless your word, Lord. We're just here for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Ephesians 5 is where we're going to be. Ephesians 5, 1. And so Mike is handing out Bibles. So I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians 5, 1. So as we open this book of Ephesians, we're going to see a letter that is sent to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the most prosperous trade cities and largest cities in Asia during Roman times. They were also known for their big temple, one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, or Diana. Artemis or Diana's influence was so strong there, they actually stamped her face on the currency there. Paul came to Ephesus and endured persecution and shared the gospel and started the church there. It is later on Paul leaves Ephesus after he had started a church there, and he ends up in jail. And he writes this letter of Ephesians from jail. And because the people, or God's children, had begun here to lose their way, this is why he writes the letter. It's something for them to refocus their heart and their eyes back to the Father as children of God. And so what happened is, because of the influences and because of the idolatry and because of the evil, we see it over and over and over again, is that children of God have a tendency to sway into whatever environment they put themselves around. And so they had compromised. They had compromised. They had started, you know, mixing biblical Christianity with things that were unholy, not of God. And so as they crept in, these influences, these worldly ideas, you know, they began to share these ideas with more and more of their Christian brothers. And so Paul was very concerned, as he had heard about this. And so, you know, he really wanted to encourage them with this book. The book of Ephesians is broken into two parts. The first part is sharing the gospel message. It's a theological, you know, remember the gospel, remember what Jesus did, remember that he died for you, remember all these things, the God's work. And then the second part of the letter, and that's where we are going to pick up, is the lifestyle, how we're supposed to live it out after we receive the Holy Spirit and we're walking with Jesus, how we're supposed to be living for the Lord, what it looks like to be his children and for us to be solely focused on him. Okay? And so if you're taking notes today, we're going to look at four ways we can have a healthier and rewarding relationship as children, okay, with our Father, of course, and just be able to have a closer relationship, a more honed in, focused relationship with him. And we're, as much as we'd like to think that we're not like the Ephesians, so often we let the things of the world that we walk in start to seep in. The word they say, this evil is pernicious, something that chews away or eats at us slowly. And so we wander, we stray. And so these four things we get to look at in the verses we're looking at today, which is, one is our example in the Father. Two is our relationship to the Father. Three, our identity in the Father. And lastly, our purpose in the Father. So let's go ahead and dig in. It says in 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So we start out right away to a very high calling to be his children. We start out here in such a wonderful way, as this is to be imitators of God as he calls us in to walk in love. And I love it because, you know, every child imitates their parent. And for me, I was very influenced by my grandfather. And it was always, I've got a photo, and I think it's on Instagram, but I just remember back when I was young, you could get candy cigarettes. So my grandfather smoked cigarettes. And so we have pictures of us, and I'm like 7, 6, with a candy cigarette sitting, you know, next to my grandpa, you know, looking pretty tough. And I think about, you know, how we are and whatever, you know, our influences. And we take good and bad influences from our worldly parents, grandparents, and we imitate them. We like to do that. You know, children pick up more on what they see than what they hear. We do. And it's good for us in this context here to be able to see the example of God so we can be like him. And so we see that here he's calling us in to be imitators of him as dear children. Actually, it's translated from the Greek beloved, beloved children. And so he says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And I love this, as we see that love is a sacrificial love. It says in the Greek, the agape love, walk in sacrificial love. Man, that is a high calling. You know, as it says in John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That is Jesus, the perfect example of the child-father relationship of what it looks like. He's like, I'm keeping his commandments. This is my relationship. I want to be like the Father. So we have to remember that Jesus didn't just, or the Father just didn't say, they don't just say things, okay? I think a lot of times, you know, we as people, we say things and don't do things, but whatever the Father and the Son, and when they get together, and the Holy Spirit, when they get together, whatever they say, they do. We have to remember that his saying is his doing. You can't separate God's saying and his doing. And so what we have here is he is saying here that he has given himself because of his love. It's how many people, you know, you just say, I love you. Oh, I love you. We say it all the time as Christians. I love you. But what do we do to love people? And this is the Father's example. Right after he says that he has loved us, he says he gave himself for us. Right? His saying is his doing. And I love that. It makes this perfect example of this sacrificial love, that to call something sacrificial actually means a sacrifice has to take place. And so here we have that example, and we're being called into it. And we know we don't match up to this a lot of times. We don't match up, and well, you know, the Pharisees kind of had the same problem. They like to look good and say prayers and just talk about stuff and not love people. And, you know, and I'll just be honest, you can see as my pastor, if, you know, and my wife, they know me really well. And not always do I, when I say I love somebody, do it. Right? It's just something that's part of the human condition. And I'm sure the people of Ephesus, and that's with me being surrounded with hedges and people that love me, and I still struggle. But the people of Ephesus, they really, you know, Paul, this is Paul coming in to let them know, hey, you know, this is who your father is. He loves you. He loves you sacrificially. His son died for you. And man, his saying is his doing. And we need to conduct ourselves in the same way. It says we need to be holy as he is holy, right? Therefore, be merciful just as your father is merciful. Luke 6:36. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your father in heaven is perfect. So, we get to see this example that sets him apart, and that the work that he did cannot be done by us. We could have been saved, you know, the reality is, and I think that anybody who's been walking and knows God knows that we in our own power could never achieve any of these things. We could not have achieved sacrificial love. We could not achieve love at all. We could not achieve our salvation. And so we really couldn't have done any of it. We couldn't have provided a sufficient sacrifice to take the place to even save ourselves, let alone everyone to ever exist. As we have faith in Christ and in the Father's work, we stand on an eternal love that we do not have a full comprehension of. And we also have fellowship with an awesome God that is calling us to receive and share that love. Now, as we follow his example of love, and the example as we start to bring this focus in of who he is, we begin to love people, and we get to, when we conduct ourselves that way, when we let the Holy Spirit in, and we are also become that sweet-smelling aroma as we sacrifice, as we live for others. And, or better said, instead of a sweet-smelling aroma, I like to would say the fragrance of Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." The fragrance of Christ is also the fragrance, again, of sacrifice. Our Father's example to us in love is sacrifice, and it is how he expects us to live. To sacrifice the things of this temporal world in order that we may find and experience an eternal one where sacrificial love is the motivation to all our relationships. So as we go into verses 3 through 7, it says, "But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as it is, it's not fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving to thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them." So, as we got to see the example of God in those first two verses, here we begin to see our relationship. This is where a great reminder of what our relationship was like before we met the Lord. We were dead in our sin, and our father was death. It wasn't the Lord. Longing for the world, and unfortunately, the Church of Ephesus, you know, was going back to the vomit pile, because he's speaking, you know, to the people that have already accepted the Lord. But I also, this is a great reminder for me of the things that I also, who I was beforehand. My relationship with God was far away as a child and did not know, as I lived in darkness, the things, even though he was waiting for me, the things he had to offer. And so we were dead. And so just much like many of us as we grow, even as young Christians, sometimes we don't have a full understanding, or maybe we go back out into the world. Maybe we, you know, feel like we hadn't had enough of it yet. And that's where the Ephesians were, and they were did not fully understand their relationship to the Father. And so, you know, Paul bringing it back in, okay, let's talk about, you know, the relationship piece. Let's talk about, okay, this is what the relationship was like. This is what the relationship should like. And if you continue down this road, we're not going to have the kind of relationship that you're going to be able to be with me forever. And so many children forget their relationships to their parents. It's not uncommon. A lot of times, you know, as I grew up, you can ask my mom, I really wanted to be her equal. You know, she would start talking to me like I was her son or something. And I would just let her know right then and there how it was going to be. And I think a lot of times that is, unfortunately, how we speak to our Father as we dialogue with him, and we can see that he has something for us. He's got people in our lives, maybe, you know, people that we may not want in our lives, or just circumstances we don't want in our lives. And we start telling the Lord, you know, we start telling the Father, you know, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go over here. You know what? I'm going to start talking to you like you're not my Father. I'm not getting the results that I want. And so we got to be careful about that relationship piece. Relationally, we are the child, he is the Father. And we have to be careful in how we end up, you know, going, because we can also, because we're not getting what we think he should be giving us, we'll go out back to our vomit as well. And so this is a great warning to the Ephesians, to us, as we forget sometimes the relationship to our parents, and often we begin to see all too soon in a child's development that they desire very much to overthrow authority. I mean, I know I have authority issues, and all children do. It's the sinful nature that we are raised and born into. And again, remember, we have to be cool. We do have to be very cool and very respectful when we speak to our Father. But we have to be careful of not wanting, you know, to be equals. And just as a father figure, we as having children cannot be, we don't want to let them, again, the cool dad syndrome, letting them think that they're equal to us either. And it's not because we don't love them. It's because God gives us the example, right, of what the relationship should look like. And so we behave and incur consequences in relation to what we believe, and the Father says, you know, there's a line. There's a line relationally we don't cross as father and child if we're to consider us his children. If you consider yourself to be his child, there is a line. And it's not because he wants to ruin your party. It's not because he wants to ruin your expectation. It's not because of any of those things. It's because he actually has something so much greater for you to experience in a relationship than anything that you have with another human being. And it's so much more. If we believe and fill ourselves full of this world, we will absolutely end up fornicating and will absolutely covet, right? These are things that, you know, they're just an endless pit. We will be children of the world, and our desire is to always take or want something else. It's got to be something else, right? If we're going to step away and not be his child, that is where we're going to end up. And that's why he warns us. That is where we'll be. We will be children of this world that desire to always take. Whether it be money, title, position, talent, family, wives, husbands, other people's children, whatever it is, you know, it's just not enough. You want what other people have. You're always looking elsewhere. And he said that's what happens when you don't have your eyes on the Father. When you don't have your eyes on the example and understand the relationship between a father and a child and the line that is drawn for our benefit. And so, you know, I was just thinking about covetousness and fornication and some of these things. I think that they point to something that's deeper. It's, you know, a lot of times we hear those words and, you know, we flinch as we hear them, but it points to something deeper. It just points to a selfishness. It points to a selfishness that's voracious and insatiable in nature and is never satisfied with its relationship to people or things. It's this death that we're born into. It burns, it consumes, and always leaves wanting. Death worship is worship of this world. And if there is anything of this world that takes precedence relationally with our Lord, then you're an idolater. And it says it all right there. The Lord says that love for this world cannot exist in my children because they are thankful and satisfied in me. And they have no reason to go anywhere else. And this is beautiful. So when we are looking at his example, when we realize our relationship as the child and we're not crossing the line, what happens is no longer are we wanting to consume down this death spiral. But what we do is we become finally satisfied in a relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship you haven't been satisfied with? Of course we have. But I guarantee you, it won't be if you look to the Father. You will be absolutely satisfied. And so, again, a child of God cannot exist in tandem and be a child of the world. Because one is never satisfied and one is always satisfied. And that's what a blessing. So, here in this passage, there's a reminder to us that we are children called into relationship with the Father. Because of that relationship, that we have an eternal inheritance that the world does not. The Father always has something better for us. We must keep our eyes on the example of the Father so we don't end up in a relationship with the world. And for those with authority issues, like myself, he is giving you trauma-informed response to have a choice by asking you to choose what's better so you no longer have to live in deception. Once we recognize and are satisfied in the relationship God has intended for us, you know, and it was, he intended this before time began, as much as that might be hard for us to believe. Then, once we realize that relationship, we begin to see our identity in the Father more clearly. And so, 8 through 14 state, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And in one a commentary I read, it said, "Goodness is love in action." I love that. The Spirit is, and that love is the first a gift that is said out of the gifts of the Spirit. And so it says Spirit in all goodness, that love in action, because his saying is his what? His doing, right? Is his love in action, righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. And therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I love this part. I love this part. I remember years ago sitting somewhere right there and hearing, like probably 12 years ago, hearing that passage. And it resonated with me a lot because I had come out of being a child of darkness and realizing that there is this new thing, this new identity that I had found. So when we walk relationally, you know, in the truth of his example, when we understand that relationship, we see that we are something else altogether. That we were at one time being far off in that darkness, and that darkness is now light. Not now, the way it says in the Greek is not that we are like a light bulb. It means that we are light. We are something completely different, okay? So I think about animals that are completely different that look alike, right? Like, so you have like a red panda and a raccoon. They kind of look alike, right? All right, but they're not. One's the cat family, related to the cat family. The other one's related to the bear family. Totally two different things. I know I'm going to hear that one for a while. So, but it's two different things. I'm just looking over at the pastor. He's sneering at me. But this is what I'm saying is that a lot of times when we finally realize who we are, we realize that we, and this is why it says, the things that they do cannot even be mentioned. These things are not even for my saints. I have set you apart, and this is what it is that I haven't just set you apart in order to set you apart. I've made you something completely new. I've made you something absolutely altogether that is unrelated to this. And so for that, wow, your identity has changed because you are a new being as you have that relationship with the Father. So as we explore our identity, we understand our relationship because of the example God has made in the love of His Son. In the Christian's case, we now identify with Christ and Christ crucified, right? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We have gone from death family to the life family because we have our bright new identity. We begin to see how we as children of God can begin to navigate through the darkness because we are light. Everything we touch, we can see things that we didn't see there before. I remember after I met the Lord and after the Holy Spirit came into me, I remember opening my Bible and understanding it. I was like, what is this? What is it? Did somebody start rewriting this thing? Because, man, there's a lot of good stuff in this. Has anybody told you about this? Because, again, I was a new creature. So how may you ask as we navigate, how do we navigate? By the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that manifests from it. Remember that goodness, that love and action? Is love, that first fruit. The Spirit always seeks out the will of the Father, and as we having the Spirit in us, that is what we should do too. We should be light, looking around, exposing the darkness, and it will also, you know, in this light supernaturally, it's going to expose spiritual darkness. The issue is, you know, it's the way when we see darkness, how we respond. If you're a true child of light, sometimes the darkness is going to dissipate. It's going to want to find another place to be besides in the presence of light. But just be careful about, you know, how you treat people when you see darkness in others or when you see darkness around you, that you don't all of a sudden think that, you know, your Bible is a hammer and you have all the right answers. So, you know, admittedly, you know, there's some things God can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot be created, and he cannot not expose darkness. It's just what light does. So exposing the darkness does not mean calling people out and preaching to them about their sin. Guess what? Most people are aware of their sin. When the guy who led me to the Lord, I was like, oh, I know. I broke it all. I was a bull in a china shop. I know. And so they know. So what they need is the light of God's love to expose darkness in a way they can see that the sin is not helping them and that there's a better answer. Rebuking someone in their sin so we can feel better about ourselves is never going to bring anyone closer to the kingdom. It is loving them and serving them where they're at and letting them know God is going to use them when they let God's love light in. And that there's no matter how dark it is, it can be used for God's glory as the light dissipates that darkness. Our identity has changed, my friends. We've been changed by our faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Changed from death to light that is love in action. So being firm and knowing your identity can help you awake sinners or the sleepiest of Christians. Because that's who this letter was written to, some sleepy Christians that kind of lost their way, right? He was bringing them back into focus to the Father and understanding their relationship, their identity, as the being children of God, being children of the Father. So being firm and knowing your identity can help you awake those things in so many people just by being near them. Just if you're truly a lover of Jesus, just being near those people, they'll get back on course. You'll see it. They'll want what you have. So going into the next piece, it says in 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So see here at the beginning of 15 is to observe or to watch your conduct, how you're behaving. And actually, it means circumspectly is carefully. So see is to observe or watch your conduct carefully. And so this is something that can be hard for us, is do we pay attention to our own behavior? I know that as I've grown, I realize there's a lot about my behavior that needed shaped. There's a lot about my behavior even now that needs to be shaped. And probably until I die, there will be part of me that needs to be shaped. You know, the whole concept of sanctification, God knew we were going to need it. It's in place. And so, but you know, the challenge is that we walk carefully. And it's important because the way people see us, the way people see the light or internalize the light, it's important that we don't speak unwisely. It's important that we don't act a fool. It's important that we are looking at ourselves. And this isn't a works issue. It's like, hey, Lord, are you going to the Lord and daily saying, what's that work? What is that thing that, you know, you have for me today? We get so focused on everybody else and their problems. But you know, here the Lord is correcting that, saying, stop looking at everybody else and let's take a time to look at yourself. Look in the mirror and take that to the Lord. Take it to the Lord because guess what? The time is short. I'm 47. I was sitting with a young man that I used to hang out with yesterday, and he's 40. I remember when I was like 25 and he was like 17. It seems like yesterday. It seems like yesterday. I have a 22-year-old. The time is just going by. I don't even know. I go on vacation and I think, man, 7 days is a long time. It's like I blinked and I was back home and I was at work. And God understands that, and it says throughout the Bible, we can see time is just seasons. It's just, it's gone. It's here and it's gone. And so he is, you know, telling his children, hey, redeem the time. The days are evil. Again, we have this concept of this, there's this other, this darkness that is intent towards us, that is not of light. And it's consuming. It's consuming. It's consuming. And so it's our job to step out into the darkness and pull people from that consuming death, that they may have light. That is what the child of God does, is they begin to find purpose. That is our purpose, is to pull people out. But there's something even greater than that. There's something greater as what we are made to in our purpose. And so here it says, again, when we see to not be drunk with the wine, which is dissipation, but be filled in the Spirit. This is something, again, it's making a statement of the world and the Spirit. And to not be drunk, it's again, what are you filling yourselves with? What are you filling yourselves with? Things of this world that are going to lead to, you know, selfishness, that are going to lead to covetousness, that are going to lead to these things that will, you know, my children don't do. The line, that line that I've made, you know, are you going to continue to go that route? But he says, no, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with these things of the world. Instead, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And this is our purpose, is that we were made to worship. We are worshipers. We are children of God. We are light. We are in His example. And we need to sit and think about having, you know, have you ever woke up with God, like a worship song on your lips? There is nothing more wonderful than waking up and it's already there because the Holy Spirit's already speaking to you. I don't know, like for the longest time, there'd be days that I'd wake up and it's just there. And I'm just like, yeah, Lord, man, you just met me there today. Because he knew I'd need it for later on. But that's who we are. I mean, that's who he is. That's the love that we have. This relationship is you know, Paul is trying to express to the Ephesians that, man, don't miss your calling. Don't miss your purpose of being light and making sure as you're light that you're watching, you know, and asking the Holy Spirit to do this work in you, that you can be, you know, true worshipers of the living Father, making us thankful, you know, when we have that overflow, not wanting to consume and take. That very overflow, guys, is what will minister and make us submit to others and serve others and make everybody around us more important than ourselves. This overflow. If we have the faith in the Father's example and we value the relationship because of what He's done, then we're also going to value the identity that He has given us, knowing that as darkness is exposed by the light, that along with our identity in the Father, we are going to fulfill that purpose. We have that purpose to be mindful of our heart, that we are speaking and doing the will of God. But also, we must redeem the time. Be strategic with our time, because the evil is in direct opposition, chewing away. Remember that word pernicious. Our purpose in the world is to not fill ourselves full of things that are passing. And our purpose is to be filled with the Holy Spirit who exists outside of time. And he gets to live in us as we walk through the temporal state. Our purpose is an eternal one which calls us into worship. So, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in wisdom, to know our Father, to know that we are his child. Worshippers of the Father continually recognize the example in the Father. They're always looking to him. Our relationship to the Father and understanding our identity in the Father, and is always, with all those things happening as it happens in the overflow of the Spirit, we're going to have the purpose of the Father, and we are going to go out and we are going to pull people out of darkness. It's just the overflow. So in order to do that, in order to do all those things that I just said and everything we've been talking about, we must model that example of the Father's love as children by meeting him in love and by faith. When we meet him in his love, we're able to see our relationship to him as children. Recognize this new identity, which gives way to a sense of purpose that we are his children and are made to be filled with eternal things, as I said before, worshiping the Father. When we recognize the impact of who we are as children and the role we play in eternity, we're able to walk in a way that can serve our loved ones and strangers alike, in a way that pulls all things around us together. Have you ever had, like, two magnets, you know, you put them one way and they stick together, you turn them the other way and they push each other apart, is believers and loved ones of light. Everything should be, we should be a walking, living, eternal magnet where things are pulling towards us. And because Christ is pulling all things towards him. Christ is the great magnet. He is pulling all things towards him to reconcile and to create a new life for all of us. A new world, a new life, a new state of being. And so everything, as Christians, as we love people, people should just have this natural attraction. We should have a natural attraction, a fragrance of Christ, if you will. People are going to want to know why we are so crazy. And so Paul understood the importance of reintroducing these concepts of children, or as children, the church in Ephesus. And we forget to look at our Father's example. You know, we end up feeling far off in relationships. We lose our identity in the world and begin to feel like we have no sense of purpose. At one time, guys, you were born, I was born, we were all born in darkness, and all we had was death. But now, in these passages, the Father is speaking to us today. He's still speaking to us long after us that have been saved and know him. And for the ones who don't know him, if you do not know him, he is calling you out today. He is speaking to you. He wants to know you. He wants to call his child home. He wants you to experience all these things that we mentioned today. At one time, you know, you may have felt that that God does not exist, or a variation of what we've talked about exists, but here in his word, he specifically states who he is. His saying is his doing. And so, calling us out, he's calling us out of the decadence of decay and the slavery of sin. And he is the true Father calling us to walk in true love, in light, and in wisdom. You can rest assured that his work started and his intent toward you was before ever making you. And he has always been there for you, waiting for you, as only a perfect father could. Even in these very passages, he tells us and shows us that we are loved and that he is thankful for us. And he gives us a new life that is satisfying. He set us apart for a special and specific purpose. He has shared, and we have an inheritance with him. And the only true response to all of this is worship. And so, whether you're a father, a mother, a friend, a neighbor, we are all children. As children, people should be able to tell what family you come from. Okay? Right? You can always tell what kid from what neighborhood comes from what family. Right? Oh, there's Johnny again. Oh, you know his parents. You know, it's funny. I mean, I just remember being a child, and I know that people were like, oh, here come the Basil kids again. Hide your stuff. Might steal your bike. So, you know, I really, you know, looking at this, you know, people should see us and see the Father in us, see a reflection of the Father, and that's great. And so, you know, I know somebody, again, I think about Christians, you know, thinking they're sitting there judging me as I teach. And I, you know, well, we're adopted. We're adopted. We don't look anything, you know, we're not going to look. You know, what I mean is that it should be what's coming outside of us, you know, from inside of us. It should be, it's not what our physical traits or attributes are, it's what's in us. The filling of God's Spirit, touching other people's lives. So, yeah, if we are to talk in love and be aware of not just who we are in relation, but to how we mimic that relationally or imitate that relationally with others, we must challenge ourselves today. If our conduct is to walk in love, who are you loving right now? People that are easy to love or hard to love? Who's in your life right now? Who's irritating you the most? Who did you wish was not in your life? Find that person and love them. Find them and love them. I'm serious. I'm going to go do the same thing. I was wrecked after reading this message. I was wrecked after just reading the verses. Because as much as I like to think that I love the unlovable people, I had a person call me and want to do lunch with me. And I was like, well, I've got a message to write. I've got to do this. Is it really going to even? It's just going to be a waste of time. This is what's going on in my mind and in my heart as a Christian brother who knows this guy's unsaved, right? And the Lord just like, James, if you're my child. So I got my stuff and I went out. All right, fine, Lord. You got the message then, Lord. It's fine. So, yeah, are you loving people by saying and doing? So one of the greatest ways to love people after you talk to them, and this is something I'm super guilty of, like there's going to be some people in here and be like, whatever, James, practice what you preach, which is follow-up. If you want to share the love of God, check in with them after, you know, like we pray here, but are you checking back in with people that you're like checking in on? You know, hey, because that, you know, we'll say, I love you. You know, how things going? Oh, you know, it's kind of bad. Well, let me pray for you. But are you going back to check in on them? Like the next week, maybe even, you know, later that night, just giving them a text. Hey, you know, just thinking about you. You need someone to further pray with or talk to? That's super helpful. Super helpful. So are we being careful about what we say and what we do around others? Do not assume our behavior is loving. Because sometimes our behavior is loving to one person and maybe not to another, per instance. Some people like to be hugged when they come through these doors. Other people do not. Some people come from families that love to be hugged, and others came from families where they're just like, yes, good morning, and, you know, we love each other. We know that. We don't have to hug. But it's respecting that, knowing that our behavior, that, you know, are we sensitive to the people around us and what our behavior looks like? So are we being strategic with the time we have with God and others? That's another thing that I think about a lot, is just being able to be strategic. Are we really using our time for the Lord? Are we really, you know, taking our time, talent, and resources that we have and giving it fully to the Lord? Are we fully, you know, are we just living our lives and coming to church on Sunday and just, you know, just getting through, getting by, and just, and all of a sudden we're like, where's the time gone? Like, are we planning ahead? God is a God of order, and one way we can show love towards Him, our Father, is planning our time. Because it is not about us, it is about Him, and it's about others. So, to close today, I'm going to do something a little different. I don't usually close with a quote, and it's a long one. But I give you this. In all of the things that we've talked about today, whether it's His example, or whether it's relationship, whether it's our identity, all these things that point us back, that pointed the Ephesians back to the Father and the relational concept of what a child and father relationship should be like. What does it look like when you speak to God? You know, I think about all the I think about all of the conversations I wish I could have had with my father here in this world. And he passed away this last year. And I won't have any more conversations with him. And I think about all those things that I wish I could have told him or would have been able to process or been able to do with him. But those times are past. And so now what I have is, if anybody feels like that today, if anybody doesn't feel like they had peace with their parents before their passing, or they're just have a horrible relationship with them, I encourage you to this. Speak to your Father. Cry out to your Father in heaven. And I leave you with a quote from Francis Fenelon regarding this matter. He was an Archbishop of France back in like the late 1600s. It says about this matter of coming to our Father to speak. Tell God all that is in your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasure and its pains, to a dear friend, tell him your troubles, that he may confront you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Tell to him your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifferences to good, your depraved tastes in evil, and your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insecure, how pride disguises you to yourself and to others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of their heart without consideration. They just what they think, that's what's going to come out. We are His children and can come boldly before the throne of grace to spill our hearts out. And now this is This is me, not Francis. We are his children that can come boldly before the throne of grace and spill our hearts out and be real with our Father who longs to have a relationship with us. How we have longed to have these conversations with earthly relationships, and yet we have it right here. We have it right here. We have it with us right here. We carry it with us out there. Embrace it. Embrace it. Go to your Father today. Happy Father's Day, Lord. But they simply, you know, our Father in heaven is both, you know, he both has capacity and compassion that human beings do not. And he is ready to be present, to listen, to give love, to give light, to give wisdom, to help us grow. So when we let him and worship him, the rest will all fall into place, guys. The rest will all fall into place as we walk in what he would have for us. And I thank you guys, and I'm going to pray out. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for being your child. There's just such a sense of gratitude to be pulled out of the darkness. And Father, we do ask that as we are pulled out of darkness, that you would continue to show us where we need to just be better children, that you would empower us to be better children, for we cannot do it in our own strength. And so, Lord, help us today. Help us today celebrate you as we should every day, the father-child relationship that you have given us, and that it would glorify you, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.